You're listening to the 503 Report with Tim Reinerson and Andrew Wellborn, where America's voice is heard. Be sure to check out our website weekly as we bring Sacramento and the world to you at www.503report.com, where America's voice is heard.
They're certainly trying to take as much as they can. Currently in California, 7.5% is where we're at, and counties and cities have the options of raising it as much as up to 2% of that. Well, under a bill proposed by Kevin Mullen, let me guess where he's from, oh, San Francisco, and a Democrat, Assembly Bill 464 would bump that up maybe another 1%. So here's how it plays out right now in California. Out of that 7.5%, the state gets almost all of it, 6.5%. 4.1% for itself, 2.3% automatically going to schools and local governments for specific purposes. On top of that, another 0.25% is collected for the county transportation services, and another 0.75%, or almost 1%, going for city and county operations. Well, like I said earlier, 7.5%, but some have higher tax brackets. Take a listen to these, and you tell me where they are, whether they vote Democrat or Republican. Alameda County, 9%. Contra Costa County, 8.5%. Fresno County, 8.25%. Los Angeles County, 9%. Marin County, 8.5%. Sacramento County, 8%. San Francisco County, 8.75%. San Mateo, 9%. So all above 8% or more in those very liberal areas. Listen to the rural areas. Amador County, 8%, the highest. Butte County, 7.5, the norm. Calaveras, 7.5 as well. Glenn County, 7.5. Our very own Lassen County, 7.5%. Plumas County, our neighbor, 7.5. Shasta, Sierra, Siskiyou County, all right there as well at 7.5%. As of Wednesday, just a couple of days ago, cities and counties had options to raise the tax, and boy, did they jump on that. El Cerrito went from 9.5% to 10%. Richmond and Contra Costa went from 9% to 9.5%. Alameda County, you know, UC Berkeley and the like, well, they went from 9% to 9.5%, 9.5% to 10%. Hayward up to 10%. San Leandro, 10%. Union City, 10%. And, of course, like I said, a Democratic Assemblyman from San Francisco, Kevin Mullen, wants to have the option of raising it on another 1% on top of that. It is Friday, our favorite day of the week, the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And it is that time of the year, the tax man, he cometh, and that'll be a week from Friday, I believe. That's the day that a lot of us are waiting for the last minute to rush right out there and find out, are we going to get a little bit, we're going to break even, or are we going to have to pay a little bit. With me, as always, on my right, my good friend, who just went to that tax man, and he's actually doing a lot better this year than he did last year, Andrew Wellborn. Pal, how are you today, buddy?
You know what? I mean, I don't want to say I'm doing a whole lot better, but I have to tell you, you know, it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. But you know what? That's terrible. I mean, think about this. I'm celebrating because it's not as bad it has been, you know, in past years. And I think that's the point. That's the problem. You know, not only do we have this sales tax issue, this up and down the state of California, county by county. But we forget, you know, you try to stay in a hotel room in some of those communities and you see all these bed taxes. I mean, the room might only cost you $150 a night, but you're paying $350 by the time parking taxes, this tax, sales tax. Good Lord. I mean, you know, those are those areas they really do like their taxes. And the big beef I've got with this, you know, you mentioned, you know, out of 7.5% sales tax that the state of California collects on its great citizens, 2.3% of that goes to schools and local governments. I'm going to say one more time. Schools on top of Proposition 98 on Proposition 30. Good Lord. I mean, you know, at some point in time, we're really going to have to start addressing the taxation for our failed school system. Hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And guys, we are where America's voice is heard.
Well, you know, Andrew, I was just happened to go through that just the last couple of days, kind of looking, because it's tax time when we look at that and trying to find out what's going on up and down our state. And, you know, Lassen County, all the rural areas up in northern California are right there at the state, 7.5%. Mm-hmm. But you start moving down the state, you get more toward the liberal areas and where they have a lot of programs and everything else. And, you know, the state amount is fixed. The 4.3% out of that 7.5 and the 2.3 adding up to about 7% of the 7.5 going to some kind of services. And the cities and areas with voter approval have the option to go up another 2%. But the Democratic, Mr. Mullen from San Francisco, wants it to go one more on top of that. So, you know, down there in those areas, and it's not saying for every county, but for the counties where they're at.
Yeah, this is an interesting point. See, because, look, Proposition 30, it was only going to raise 1%, 2%. Yes. Only 1%, 2%, folks. It's only 1%, 2%. You know, they're great at manipulating that number. Oh, it's only 1%. It's nothing. Oh, yeah, we can afford 1%, 2%. A millionaire can afford 1%, 2% on top of the existing 7.5%, on top of the existing 10% in some counties and cities, as you mentioned, on top of the 10 to 12% that a, you know, top 1% of California already pays in taxes. I mean, these little 1%, 1%, 1% are starting to add up, and that pressure, you know, is starting to really, that's what I think. There's where we're going wrong as conservative Republicans with our messaging when it comes to, you know, it's not just 1 or 2% on a rainy day. Oh, I'm sorry, for a sunset with rainy day. It is a permanent tax that stays in place. And you know what? It's kind of interesting because up here in Lassen County, where we broadcast out of, you're absolutely right, we're only at 7.5%, which in some of those other counties that you talked about up here in northeastern California, that is going to be an issue with this Jefferson, the state of Jefferson movement, you know, funding a state, especially up here in Lassen County, where, you know, we don't have a lot of discretionary funds available in our local treasury because we don't put these silly taxes on ourselves. And so that's going to be one of the addressing factors with the state of Jefferson movement up here. How are they going to fund the government? You know, that state income tax, is that going to go into the treasury? We're going to have to do more here in the counties in order to provide services. It all just lines up no matter how we look at it. And you know what? It's important that we bring these issues up and put the spotlights on these issues. Well, it seems like the only time we really bring it up is this time of the year, which is April.
Absolutely. It is. And we do talk about that here on the 503 Report a lot, but it brings to notice that how important it is to keep your money as much as you can shopping local in your areas, because money is already set aside a percentage for your area. So if you're spending your money in that hometown area as much as you can, when you can, more of it is going to stay because it already is earmarked for county services, roads, schools, transportation, whatever.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll talk about this more on the bottom part of the show, but, you know, we've seen that the Republican voter registration is dropping off a little bit, but so is the Democrats, and we'll get more into that later. You know, it seems like a great opportunity for Republicans. Hey, just show up at the post offices on April 15th and just, you know, when people are fuming, when they're dropping off those, you know, those checks that they're sending off to the government, maybe it'd be an opportunity to say, hey, you want to register Republican, maybe bring in, you know, the Republican message, the conservative message, the importance of lower taxes so that the individual up and down California can have more money in their pocket to spend on their families.
Wouldn't that be nice? Is there a law or is there something on the books that says at government entities, can you do things like that? Or you can, that's
you can.
It's taboo.
No, you can.
Oh, you can do that.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
See, I wasn't aware that, because you don't see them in places like that. In our area, you see them at the the Walmart or things like that in those areas for getting out the vote. Don't see them at the federal or the state institutions. I have not seen that.
I don't know of any law that prevents that, but, you know, it'd be a great opportunity. Something to think about, all you Republicans out there, is in front of the post offices. I don't know if you can be on the property or in front of them, back, whatever. But take a look at that. You know, it might be a great opportunity to try to increase the Republican registration out here in California, for sure.
We try.
I just watched that movie the other day, The Valley Girls, for sure.
You have to try and keep the money here, and this kind of goes to that point. In your areas, because the money is already earmarked there, you're only helping your areas and benefiting them more and more to stay in those areas. And do what you can. We've harped on that for almost 4 years here on the 503 Report, that local is the way to go. There are some things that you cannot get, and we understand that in some of the smaller areas, but whenever you can and you can help out, you're not only helping out that business, you're helping out yourself in the long run.
Well, the big thing is we have to pay attention to these little 1%, these little 2%, the messaging, the propaganda behind that messaging. That's very important out here in California. So we need to, as Californians, people who live in California, we got to pay attention to this legislative movement and not get caught up in that. All right, man. This day in history on April 3rd. Well, this is, what, 2015. So let's take a look at 1922. It's interesting because Joseph Stalin was appointed the General Secretary of the Communist Party. And we all know what that resulted in historically. On April 3rd, 1948, United States President Harry Truman, he signed the Marshall Plan, which was very controversial in history. Guess what it did? It allowed $5 billion in aid to go to 16 European countries. Did that set the trend that we're seeing today? A lot of historians debate that. And, of course, in 1949, a very important one, the North Atlantic Treaty was signed by the United States, Britain, France, and Canada.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you every Friday right after the news on 1240 KSUE, live streaming on the World Wide Web at SierraDailyNews.com. You want to join the conversation? It's pretty easy. It's 257-TALK. That's 257-8255 or 8256. And our dime, if you're out of the area, as a lot of listeners up and down this great state and nation of ours, 1-866-882-1277. It's Good Friday, Easter, just a couple days away. The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you.
And now, it's live from the high desert in the Sierra Nevada mountains. It's the 503 Report, Northeastern California's original political talk show, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And here's your host, Tim Reinertsen.
Thank you, Stan. Welcome back, everybody. The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you on this Good Friday. And really, the tax season is just right around the corner. Taxes due in about 12 days from right now. And how'd you do on yours? You know, I did okay. Andrew, he just, off air, he was saying, man, I never thought paying, you know, $3,800 if I only owed that little would be great. I mean, holy moly. It's just amazing what the amount of money, you know, that people differentiate between good and bad in your taxes. But I'll tell you, like I mentioned in the opening, a lot of those cities and counties, Andrew, are upping their tax rate in their county, in their city area, some of them up to 10%. And Assemblyman Mullen from San Francisco, Democrat, Assembly Bill 464, be on the lookout for that one, giving communities and cities and counties the option of raising it one more percent on top of that. It's our favorite day of the week. It is Friday, the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. With me on my right, my good friend, Andrew Wellborn.
You know what? I just don't get it, folks, up and down California. I don't understand why the voters, oh, that's right, voters have got to turn out to vote in order to prevent silly stuff like this from happening. You know, voter awareness needs to be up there a little bit. I don't know if we have any media out there that is really, really doing something like, I don't know, the 503 Report, exposing this little trick that they do every election season as far as how they disguise what the tax is. Oh, it's only 1%. And, you know, it's to establish a rainy day fund. And it's, you know, it's going to have the sunset clause. It's only temporary. You know, I mean, at some point in time, the people of those counties have got to wake up. And I am talking to you folks up and down California. Hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the taxes to you, and we are where America's voice is heard.
Andrew, I want to get into it a little bit. We were talking, you just hinted on it in a moment in our opening segment right there. Voter registration statewide, the percentages, Democrat, Republican, and Independent. You can probably figure out how things are going in this great state. I'm sure you probably have the numbers over right there, but how the percentage of folks in California who are Democrat, Republican, and on the rise, the independent voters here in California.
You know what's crazy about the voter registration? This drives me nuts. You guys tell us out there. If it drives you to, let us know. I mean, you know, how many people just refuse to take advantage of the greatest right ever given to an individual?
Thank you.
Because they don't want to be summoned to jury duty. You know, the fear and the perspective that, you know, I don't want to vote, register to vote, because I don't want to be summoned to jury, which is another important civic duty that you have. And I don't know where this breakdown is, guys, but, you know, it's very, very frustrating. You know, we've got the movement now with driver's licenses so that, you know, on the national level, some states are looking into it. When you get your driver's license, renew your driver's license is automatically a voter registration. I don't know if that is going to make a difference one way or the other, but I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think California has used voter registration for jury duty in several years. I think it really goes off your driver's licenses. But, you know, nevertheless, voting, without a doubt, you know, California is a unique voting machine out here. The biggest myth is that the Democrats have got this majority control. Well, it's not that the Democrats have got the majority control. We've said it over and over on our show. I mean, in fact, the Democrats are beginning to decline a little bit, just like the Republicans, to that all important. It's not the independent voters. I mean, we use the term, you guys know, I'm big on words. I mean, the independent voters. No, it's the decline to state, the DTSs. You know, if you register as an independent on your voter registration card, you are party affiliated. You're saying that you're with the independent party. But, you know, obviously that decline to state, that non-party, which is interesting, that non-party affiliation is exactly what the true meaning of progressivism is from the historical aspect.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
okay.
Absolutely. You know, the anti-party bosses, anti-corporate, anti-trust guys who are quite conservative historically, but they've always just wanted to have a fair shake. They didn't want the monopolies. They want an opportunity to succeed in this great country. But it's just interesting because the Democrats have now declined to a 43%. You know, Republicans are down now at this point to 27, just under 28%. And then the decline to state, those infamous independent voters, are on the rise, almost 24%.
Wow.
In the state of California. So for some reason, somehow, if you look at the voting with this decline to state, and you take a look and you put the model of the initiative voting, generally for the most part, is conservative. However, the problem we're facing out here in California, guys, is that our voter turnout is dropping off more and more and more, which is creating bigger problems, okay? So, for instance, a voter, how many times have we heard a voter say, you know what, I mean, I just don't want to vote. They're just going to win anyway. They got a little discontent.
Time,
they're apathetic about it. And all of these initiatives, they're just confusing. Well, maybe it's designed to be that way. Maybe we need to take a look at a couple of things. Maybe our initiative process, how we put things on the ballot, why we put things on the ballot. You know, I understand our initiative process. It's a very, very important piece of our ability to control our legislature. It became law several years back at the turn of the century, mm-hmm. early in our statehood, and it was designed to basically break the control of the railroad barons back then that had on the California
yes.
legislature. And that's what the initiative process is supposed to be for. It's supposed to make the legislature do or not do something that you, the people, want or don't want them to do. And so when you see some of these stupid pieces of legislation, or you see an initiative that you don't like, some of the crazy ones, like the one that's starting to become controversial out here in California. The reason that these initiatives are able to get on the ballot, folks, is because of the proverbial statement that we hear all the time. My vote doesn't matter. My vote doesn't count. Why should I vote anyway? Because my candidate is going to win. My candidate's going to lose. Well, listen, the initiative process is based on a percentage of voter turnout. So some of these, like, you know, the Proposition 47s, the Proposition 30s, mm-hmm. some of these propositions are able to become very, very successful because of a low voter turnout. And what happens is this. Then you see the advocation. Well, you know, 50% of the people of California, you know, they're in favor of this. No, they're not.
No.
Only maybe 50% of a small portion of the voting electorate. And boy, I see our phones are lighting up. Hello, you're on the 503 Report. Welcome to the conversation. What's on your mind?
Good afternoon, and thank you for the show, guys.
Thank you.
I voted for Ronald Reagan. That was the worst vote I ever did because he misrepresented himself and the way he was going to do things. They gave him credit for winning the Cold War, and he didn't win the Cold War. The American People's Initiative won the Cold War. And the only way that we can keep the peace is for us to understand that America is not the only country on this planet that matters. Our importance to ourselves is what is important. We don't have to worry about Israel. Israel claims it could take care of itself. We'll let Israel take care of itself, and America should take care of itself, and then let's see something happen. Bye.
All right, a little bit of isolation theory there. But hello, you're on the 503 Report. Welcome to the conversation. What's on your mind?
Oh, good morning. You're right about people registering as independents or declined to state because they feel like neither party represents what they want. Neither mm-hmm. party is listening to them. And with more people registering as independents, which will also be known as swing voters, mm-hmm. then the parties are more apt to listen to them. And also, our votes don't count in the northern part of the state because the northern one-third of the state has three senators that 20 counties share. However, the bottom part of the state has 37 state senators. L.A. County alone has 11. And whereas up here in Northern California, we are sharing three senators between 20 counties. Also, we have three assemblymen represented up here between the 20 counties, whereas down in the lower two-thirds of California, they have 77 representatives. So the northern 20 counties between senators and assemblymen have six. Where in Southern California, they have 114. So our vote really doesn't count up here, and that's one of the reasons for the state of Jefferson. And also, financially, California, you were talking about that earlier, California has 571 agencies that the state of Jefferson would not have. And the correctional officers would probably earn more money because under the federal constitution, their contracts would be honored in a new state, but the taxes wouldn't be as high. And as far as the social services, that is federal funding. But there's a lot of pluses to doing that, and I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon, but there's a lot of benefits by breaking away from California. And I'll hang up and take your answers off the air.
Well, you know, the avocation is big up here in northeastern California, and ultimately, I think, pertaining to the state of Jefferson, and these are some of the issues that the caller brought up that are valid points as far as the advocacy of the split off from the great state of California and forming a separate state up here in the north. But, you know, I mean, those are the issues going to be addressed. I mean, you can say contracts all day with correctional peace officers, but, you know, where's that funding going to come from? Is it going to come from the other state of California, or is it going to come from Jefferson? We can say right now, you know, we're not going to have 500 plus agencies, but eventually we're going to have to put an infrastructure in place. And, you know, most of that infrastructure is already in place for the state of California. Are we going to roll that over? And if we do roll that over, how are we going to pay for it? You know, services, and those are the big questions. And, you know, I know that we're going to devote a show up here pretty soon as far as, you know, actually to separating the facts from the myth when it comes to the avocation of the state of Jefferson. But until then, I got to tell you, you know, our votes do count is the only thing that I'm going to say, because when you vote for a Republican assemblyman or a senator up here, guess what? That individual wins. But more importantly, as the votes come in, what it does, it sets a higher threshold for stupid initiatives, because the higher the voter turnout is, then it is more difficult for some of these stupid initiatives that are affecting you to make and qualify for the ballot.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento World. You want to join the conversation? 257-TALK, 825-5825-6. Out of the area, 1-866-882-1277.
Rotary's 14th Annual Golf Tournament is Saturday, May 2nd at Plumas Pines Golf Course in Gray Eagle. There will be 3 hole-in-one prizes, $10,000 in cash and 2 $5,000 in cash. Entry is $100 a person. 4-person scramble includes golf, cart, lunch, and hors d'oeuvres. Entry deadline is April 24th, or the first 144 players. This message, a community service of your favorite radio station. Susanville Kiwanis is sponsoring 5 scholarships for students pursuing either an academic or vocational career. To qualify, students must be graduating high school seniors from Lassen High School District, attendance area with a grade point average of 2.5 or higher. All students planning to attend a college, university, or vocational technical college are encouraged to apply. Scholarship information is available in the counseling office at Lassen High School. Applications must be submitted by April 10th.
The views and opinions expressed on the 503 Report do not necessarily represent those of staff or management of KSUE or Sierra Broadcasting Company, and are brought to you solely by Andrew Wellborn and the 503 Network.
Now, let's take it back in history. This date, April 3rd, 1957, the Soviet Union, used to be known as the USSR, did something kind of interesting, maybe a little scary. They performed an atmospheric nuclear test on this date back in 1957. And then 1 year later, emboldened by the USSR, emboldened by the alliances with the former Soviet Union, Fidel Castro's communist rebellion attacked and overtook Havana, Cuba. Hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And we are where America's voice is heard. And it's interesting that on this date in history, some of the things that are happening today in today's world are almost kind of similar. I don't want to say we're repeating history yet. We are definitely going down the similar roads.
We are, Andrew. You know, we were talking during the break right here, and I'd like to, if we could, maybe get international big news and how it affects the United States as well. And how do you look at it? Was a treaty signed yesterday between the United States and 6 world powers and the government of Iran, or just that framework, and they have 2.5 months to do whatever they're going to do? Of course, President Obama is hailing the peace accord, the nuclear accord, whatever it is, yep, as a success. Is it a success? A lot of Democrats and Republicans are saying, well, what has it really done? We have until June to really find out. So, you know, it's really still up in the air.
Look, we're just going to have to watch this. You know, you mentioned the peace accords. Yes, this is President Obama's Camp David Accord with Jimmy Carter. You know, oftentimes I try to evaluate this. Is this representational of today, of a second term had Jimmy Carter won back in 1980? You know, when you talk about the accords, you know, when you talk about President Jimmy Carter, some of the things that we do forget, we forget as a result of those accords. You know, not only did a national president die through assassination, Mr. Sadat, Many, many people have died as a result of these accords. So, you know, is this going to be a situation of appeasement? Are we going to repeat history again with appeasement? Are many, many people going to die in the future? Did we just seal, you know, the deaths of many, many people in the future as a result of appeasement with the Iranian mullahs? And, you know, only time is going to tell with this. Ultimately, I just think that no matter how we look at this, it definitely looks like that we're going to enter into another Cold War at best, within the Middle East. And the question is going to be is, you know, what's going to be the end results in the future as a result of this soon-to-be nuclear arms race in the Middle East?
You know, they control, I'm sure a lot of the listeners out there know that Iran is backing the play in Syria and in Yemen and a lot of countries in the Middle East right now with al-Qaeda and all those other factions that are at war. And here we are, the United States and you know, Great Britain, France, Germany, and and the Soviet Union at the table bargaining over the nuclear threat, but not a word is mentioned about what is going on with al-Qaeda and other groups and other countries out there. And one of those offshoots just yesterday or the day before with the Christians at the school in Kenya, just horrific. If you don't know, 147 Christians at a college were slaughtered by the offshoot of that, of the Kenyans, Al-Shabaab or that organization down there in Kenya. And as Andrew says, has said in the past, that organization needs to be wiped out. They need to go.
You know, history, once again, historically, the Democrats were able to campaign successfully against the Republicans with President Obama and taking control of the United States Congress over economic crisis in the United States, world and economic crisis. You know, my greatest concern and fear is that we're going to look back historically at probably one of the bigger international crises as a result of Democratic appeasement in the United States Congress and with President Barack Obama. I think that, you know, what he's hailing now is one of his biggest historical you know, achievements. It's going to backfire, and hopefully the price is just not going to be that great to pay. Now, on the national level, when we're talking about the presidential race at this point in time, you know, I'm very concerned about, you know, with the Hillary Clinton breaking of the law, because let's just call it what it is. No matter how we look at it, once again, a Clinton has broken the law. You know, as Republicans across this country, and you've heard me say this, Tim, Paul, everybody up and down California, and I've taken the criticism and I've taken the heat on this. We've had callers call in and disagree. This Benghazi thing has now turned into the crying of wolf. You know, the Benghazi thing that has been, you know, throughout our headlines on Hillary Clinton over the last couple of years has now turned deaf ears towards this real issue, the real wolf, which is this email, breaking the law with these emails. And right now, you know, the public is not in tune, I think, because we have cried wolf so hard on something that most of the public has deemed to be, well, it's irrelevant. You know, so this is now another wolf call with the emails from the Republican side.
You know, it's funny you should mention bring that up, because Governor Jerry Brown just made available all his private emails in his account. He's very succinct and to the point, not really a lot there, but probably one of the biggest things is on the Hillary Clinton on that was her having her own server. And how did that come about? Because it should be a government one where you don't have the control over it, and to wipe things clean or to lose it, 50,000, half of her emails gone, we'll never know what they are. How can we allow that to happen?
Well, the point is this: we have to focus on breaking the law.
Correct.
I mean, the bottom line is it breaking the law? The Democrats have successfully throughout history been able to, you know, misconstrue or propagandize the message of Bill Clinton as just being having a marital affair in the White House, you know, just cheated on Hillary with Monica Lewinsky. But that's not the point. You know, the point, the reason that former President Bill Clinton is an impeached and disbarred lawyer is not because he had sex with an intern in the White House. It's because he perjured himself because of it. He lied under oath. That is a big deal, folks, when it comes to members of our government. You see members of Congress, you see governors, you see members of state legislatures fall all the time because of lying on the record. Perjury charges are a big deal, especially in transparency. The Republicans need to shift it in a way and communicate it in a way to where the Democrats cannot just turn it on the Republicans as being just aggressive right-wingers. The message has got to be coined and phrased in a way that it is about upholding the law.
Andrew, has the time passed for that? I know it's been roughly, it's been a while since all this came up. In the past month, a lot of things have happened around the world that have maybe deflected away from that. Can the Democrat or the Republicans still use that over the course of the next year and bring that back and have her answer to that without looking like they're just drudging up old news?
All the RNC's got to do is hire me and get us out there with the 503 report. We'll be able to formulate the right and correct strategy. But my biggest concern is the wrong message and the wrong strategy. Because look, here's the deal. It doesn't matter, folks. Thank God we live in a republic where the Electoral College exists. The bottom line is, it does not matter if Hillary Clinton has got huge numbers in the New York and the blue states and out here on the West Coast, you know, because the states elect. Who cares? The bottom line is that Republicans have got to swing a message down to really the Southwest. The Southwest of the country now is becoming more and more the swing states, the battleground states. The problem is this. We just have got to be able to secure, as Republicans, Nevada, and we got to secure New Mexico. We do that along with Florida, Ohio, the rest, everybody else will fall in the line, and it's done. It doesn't matter who the Democratic nominee is. That's why it's so important. You know, it's so important who we select as the vice presidential candidate. You know, obviously, anybody from the Southwest, I believe, that's got any type of credibility, you guys have heard me say it, Brian yes. Sandoval is my dream team with Jeb Bush. Right. You know, that was going to secure Nevada. That's going to trickle down into New Mexico, and then Colorado won't matter. Colorado's iffy at this point in time,
right.
But strategically, we have got to secure the Southwest. We do that along with Ohio, Florida, and Texas. And guess what?
Game over.
It's over, folks. And so this what's important here is that we've got to get behind our candidates to win. This is a crucial election. Do we want the Obama policies to carry over with the Clintons? Do we want this socialist program, this communist movement that is beginning to create an incredible amount of international insecurity to continue as a nation? One of the callers on the second segment of the show. Absolutely. We have to take care of America through our voting process, electing the right and correct people. The Tea Partiers, we're talking about parties. Historically, parties get overtaken by other parties because we only have the two-party system, as we know. So the communists and socialists have been able to successfully take over the Democratic Party. We've seen the Christian movement through the Republican Party over the years. Now we see the libertarians now coming over into the Republican, trying to force the conservatives. But, you know, when we talk about the primaries, and one of the biggest misconceptions, we hear it all the time. You can't be conservative enough. You're not conservative enough to win a Republican primary. Well, hold on. How many Goldwaters have won a Republican primary? No. If that were true, that propaganda gets in people's head. The bottom line is this. How many Goldwater conservative candidates have won? We like to say it was Ronald Reagan, but Ronald Reagan, come on, man, the opportunity was there. I mean, let's just face it. You know, historically, had the Iranian hostage rescue been successful for Jimmy Carter on the eve of that election, would that have been a turning point for Jimmy Carter to go into a second term and the Reagan era, you know, were to, you know, not even exist? And then when Ronald Reagan got into office, of course, when you drop the tax base, you know, this is not specific, from 80% to 20%, of course, you're going to have economic boom. But, you know, it was a Democratic Congress that worked with President Reagan in order to get that done. So I'm kind of getting tired of hearing, well, I'm a Reagan conservative. I love walk the lines of Ronald Reagan. You know, I'm going to quote Ronald Reagan and all this stuff. Because, look, most of the voters today don't even know who that man is.
That's 35 years ago that he came into office. And, you know, Jimmy Carter, you said earlier, had a lot to build on with Egypt and Israel signing their peace accords. And then, of course, we had the failed attempt right there. The economy was kind of on and down. But that probably would have been a major feather in the President Carter's, and it would have been a little bit more difficult for Reagan.
It might have been, you know. But anyway, so Republicans, come on, man, let's get together, guys, and get this message together. Now, libertarians, conservatives, look, here's the deal. I mean, look, primaries, you know, that's for your soul. That's for your conscience, you know. General elections, that's for your necessity.
Correct.
At that point in time, as libertarians, if you're going to come into my Republican Party and you're going to support your candidates, stay in the voting race. Don't all of a sudden go for your libertarian candidate who's got absolutely no chance at winning. Stay with the Republican nominee. And then, of course, as Republicans, start targeting, you know, that Southwest. That Southwest is now going to determine which way the White House goes.
You talked about that, and very quickly, open seat in Nevada coming up in 16. What is that going to do for Sandoval?
You know, it's going to break up my dream team, possibly, you know, at this point. You know, obviously, you know, Brian Sandoval is going to be, you know, the number one contender to take Harry Reid's place and run for that seat. And I can't blame him. That'd be a great job. That's an easy job compared to being the vice president of the United States. So, you know, ultimately, we're going to have to look for another selection in order to achieve what I think strategically we need to do.
Well, a 503 report bringing Sacramento and the world to you, man.
Yeah, man, you know, on this Easter weekend, you know, lots of great things happening, lots of great celebrations happening. And I want to take a minute to wish from my family to yours up and down California, across this country, on this holy, holy weekend. Get out there, celebrate it, and remember, it's just not about Easter bunnies, chocolate, and eggs. And with that, from our favorite book, give, and it shall be given to you. For whatever measure you deal out to others, it will be dealt to you in return.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you.
And of course, we always want to thank those men and women who go to work every day, working the toughest beating state form of duty so that you, our listener, up and down the state of California and across this great country can be safe.
As Andrew said, folks, it is a great time of the year. We should have that feeling in our hearts and our souls all year round, but we really feel it at this time of the year, Good Friday and Easter Sunday coming up. And as Andrew said, my family to yours. I hope you have a terrific Easter weekend with your family, with your fans, with your faith. Join us on weekends at 7 and 7:30 Saturday and Sunday for the 503 Report, right before Swap Shop and the news, before pre-programmed on Sunday. Have yourselves a great weekend until next Friday. Remember, we are all born free.
Let me thank you for your time.